All week long, Federal News Radio's digital news writer Jack Moore has been writing about the retirement conundrum and examining whether federal retirees are really going to leave the government more and more now. In this hour of the Federal Drive, we've got a special panel discussion on retirement and what happens next, how agencies can plan effectively for the loss of experience and knowledge.
And we have three special guests joining us in studio this morning. Christopher Hardy is the Director of Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University. Sheila Wright is the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development. And Al Tyree is the Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at Graduate School USA. We welcome them all into the studio this morning. I guess we'll start off with the first background question, I guess, here. And I'm going to ask you, Sheila, to answer this first. And how real is the loss of knowledge when a longstanding employee does decide to depart or retire?
It's very real, actually. We are currently having a number of our employees retire. And in light of the sequester and the hiring freeze, you know, we're slow to be able to onboard new employees within those positions, which has forced us to have to really think outside the box as to how we can work to retain that knowledge and manage it. So it is a very real it's a very real issue for us.
And Al, do you see people coming to Graduate School USA as a result of someone else leaving, so the agency needs to get someone else up to speed?
Absolutely. You can see that just in terms of the participants. We have a unique opportunity to engage federal employees and kind of get a sense of what's happening within the federal space. And that's what we're hearing, this need for greater succession management and knowledge capture.
And I suppose it's the same story at Defense Acquisition University. What are you seeing in terms of agency demand for replacement knowledge?
We see a huge need, and it's been coming. We've been watching this for a while, and I think the economy kept people in the government longer with the baby boomers. Now we're seeing them depart. I think there's about a 200% increase from last year of retirees. And job support, knowledge management is becoming more and more important, and we're having to expand our infrastructure to address that.
When you're talking about passing down knowledge, really from a retiring generation to the next generation, what is that knowledge that people actually have to pass down? And is that something that is general throughout the government? And maybe, Al, you're in the best position to answer that.
You know, again, you know, having an opportunity to engage directly, you know, with federal employees, and not only in our classes, I develop and help agencies develop customized training for their programs. And within that is a conversation about what are the needs, what are the challenges, what are you facing? And interestingly enough, while there's a longer term consideration, there's also the short term consideration of capturing that mission critical knowledge right now. What do we need to capture at this juncture to keep the business of the agency and more of a government moving?
Yeah, and Sheila, at HUD, I suppose the information is very specific. It's so many programs, thousands of pages of rules. It must be tough when someone takes that with them.
Most definitely. I think that the easiest thing for us at HUD is to work on those cross-functional skills, those skills that every mission critical area within the department can actually utilize. What's more difficult and more challenging, and I should say more challenging more than difficult, is the cross-cutting skills within the Office of Public and Indian Housing or Community Planning and Development or the Fair Housing Equal Opportunity Office or even the Office of Housing. They have very specific technical skill sets that are required that if a senior technician were to leave or separate from the agency, it may be very difficult to actually fill that skills gap. And so, again, looking at our knowledge management strategies is crucial at this point.
So would you say there's more of a panic if a senior manager leaves or a senior specialist?
I would say actually both. I think the manager, you know, we all believe that there's that, you know, the leadership competencies across the board are relatively the same. However, there are nuances to dealing with our stakeholders that some managers may be in housing, say, for instance, or public and Indian housing may be more well-versed. So there's still that technical side that even if you're onboarding a new manager, they still need to get that technical piece.
So basically, if someone is an expert in, say, dealing with developers on 8A rules, they couldn't just hop over to Indian housing and know what they're doing any more than, you know, anybody else could.
There is a certain learning curve, I would believe.
Okay. And Chris, at Defense Acquisition University, it's acquisition and it's defense. So is there a little bit more uniformity of what people know across the board, or does it get specialized there too?
We have a workforce, a professional workforce of 150,000 acquisition professionals. And it's in 15 career fields from systems engineering, logistics, program management, and things like that, very technical thing, contracting. So when we have senior people in those areas retire and leave, and then we have a sort of a bathtub of people behind them as far as available population, we've been addressing that for about 3 years now. And we've tried to plus up the acquisition workforce through hiring. So it's not just knowledge, it's also experience and treating it like a talent management thing. So you have to look at retention, you have to look at development, as well as knowledge transfer. So you have to look at all three. And our problem isn't necessarily the leadership skills, but the wisdom that the senior leaders have on how to do things, the expertise to do something, not just the competencies. That's harder to pass.
That sounds like that takes just practice.
It takes a lot of practice, and it also it changes what you do in the classroom because you want to do more experiential training and get more transfer of actually how to do things, how to critically think, and things like that.
Yeah, and we should talk a bit later on about how to evolve with those needs. I'm just curious, though, because all of you are involved in the education of federal employees, getting them up to speed for the next chapter in their lives. Tell me what sort of other types of people within the agencies you have to work with in order to make sure that this goes well. And Sheila, you're a natural person to start with, being from within HUD.
Well, I think that HUD is unique in the sense that we, you know, actually service the American people. A number of agencies do, but we have direct ties and stakeholders with the American people. And so when we are looking at learning and development, naturally we're also focused on learning and development for contractors or for inspectors, say, for instance, or say for mortgagees or lenders or homeowners that are renting properties. And so we have to take a little bit more of a holistic approach into how the regulations change and how the policies change, so we must move forward. So our people learning is one thing, but also our stakeholders learning is quite another.
And Al, when it comes to succession planning and making sure the next chapter of leaders is on board, from your perspective with Graduate School USA, what sort of planning do you want the agency to come to you with?
Well, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about our experience with federal agencies. We probably train and provide programs to the HR community within the federal government, probably more than any other, next to acquisition, I would say, Chris. But the transformation we're seeing within these HR communities, these learning professionals, moving to more of an internal consultant type of role. And I think that's vitally important because I think the HR community is going to kind of be at the center of most of these storms, if you will, that we're seeing. And so for us, it gives us, you know, insight into, you know, what the government, what challenges that they're facing, and gives us a gauge by which we develop our programs.
And Chris, at the Defense Acquisition University, you mentioned that you've been working on at least bringing skills up to speed in acquisition in particular for 3 years. What sort of length of training or timing and planning does it take to work with the defense agencies on getting the next level of leaders up to speed?
Well, we have a very, very set process as far as how we develop our curricula. we start with the leaders in the Pentagon that set our competencies, and then we work that into our courses. We do some 1,600 classroom offerings a year, so the scheduling process is complex as well. Mm-hmm. And we graduate about 57,000 classroom graduates. What's changed isn't our mission. Our mission's the same. What's changed is how we are looking at alternatives to the classroom training with the budget cuts. We've been looking this year at converting to more distance learning, shortening the classroom courses, converting classroom to virtual classroom, adopted blending or flipped classroom formats where you use video for lectures and then you do application for classrooms. We're looking at high-definition linked classrooms. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to leverage the technology because we still have the mission regardless of the budget.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. We can continue that conversation when we return. You are listening to a Federal Drive discussion on retirement and the retention of knowledge. And our guests today are Chris Hardy. He's director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University. Al Tyree, the director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA. And Sheila Wright, she's chief learning officer at Housing and Urban Development. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to our Federal Drive discussion on retirements and the retention of knowledge here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Emily Kopp. Our guests in studio today are Chris Hardy, director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, Al Tyree, director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA, and Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development.
And just before our break, Chris was talking about how budget cuts and the sequester are perhaps forcing the Defense Acquisition University to turn more towards technology and virtual training. Sheila, I want to pose the question to you. At HUD, how have the budget cuts and the pressures from Congress, et cetera, affected their learning budget and what you can offer?
It has drastically affected our learning budget, but there are some things that we've been able to work on, but we also have been able to find that we have some challenges that we have to overcome. And so one thing we've been able to do is actually to develop a rotational assignment program, which will allow us to basically move employees into positions to develop them in certain areas, which also speaks to the potential issue that we have with respect to retirement, knowledge management, and retaining that knowledge and that talent. The other thing that we've been working on is to develop a more concentrated skills assessment. Because we have issues with travel, our travel budget basically plummeted in the sequester. And so we have to have a more concentrated approach to how we deliver learning and development opportunities in the department. The interesting thing is that even though we have a growing multi-generational workforce, primarily on the average, our workforce is still the average age is the low 50s. Average, federal experience is about 20 years. And a large number of our employees are HUD, what we refer to as HUD only. They've only ever worked at HUD.
So that's something that hasn't changed no matter what the budget climate is.
It's still basically, so we still have a need to meet. And so it forces us to think about, while we do promote distance learning, while we do have a learning management system, and we are migrating to more of a full-blown talent management system, which is a technology solution, we are looking at how to make those learning alternatives more attractive to the average workforce or the average end user within HUD. And so modularizing, as Chris had indicated, we are modularizing content, but we're also looking at in our assessment kind of a concentrated place where what region requires more learning activities within a certain competency or skill set than another region, and we are looking to dispatch, if you will, or deploy concentrated learning activities in those competencies or those areas of need to that region. So we're looking to be a lot more strategic in our delivery of learning opportunities throughout the department.
And Al, talk a little bit about your strategy with the budget pressures, et cetera, how learning is changing at the graduate school.
And just to throw in answer to whether your fee for service, which is different than appropriated funds.
Correct. Yes, we are. You know, the graduate school actually grew out of our affiliation with USDA for many years, and now we're moved on. We are a nonprofit fee for service organization at this juncture. But to talk a little bit about that, we know that technology has been transforming learning for many years now. We know this beyond the traditional instructor led variety. What we're seeing now is with reduced budgets and the impact it has on travel, that the requests for training, the requests for customized programs almost always now include some alternative delivery method, be it distance, our own distance ed capability where we provide live training or pre-recorded synchronous, asynchronous types of programming, more requests for that. And even see agencies utilizing technology more within their various programs. But there's no doubt that it's impacted how we put together programs. We at the school, we're strategically coming up with alternative delivery methods that kind of blend a multitude of technologies.
You're listening to a Federal Drive discussion on retirement and knowledge retention. Our guests today are Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer in Housing and Urban Development, Christopher Hardy, the Director of Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, and Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA. We'll have a lot more in just a few minutes after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's 9:30, and welcome back to our Federal Drive discussion on retirements and the retention of knowledge here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin. Our guests today are Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development, Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA, and Chris Hardy, who is Director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University.
And Chris, at DAU, I want to ask you about the idea of on-the-job training and how it can substitute for formal learning systems, because on the job could be very ad hoc and you'd learn all the wrong things. Is there some way of beefing up on the job in such a way that it at least mimics the outcome of the more formal type of training systems that may be cut back in times like this?
How we look at it, I guess to say it a little differently, we've changed our mission or our vision at DAU from being a premier corporate university to being a organization that helps the acquisition workforce on the job. In other words, even our courses now, when we develop a course, are focused on, is that going to prepare and help them on the job? After that, we've put knowledge sharing infrastructures where portals and communities of practice in place, as well as consulting to the job, where we're trying to help them do their job and not just let them train and then it's up to them. So it's not just continuous learning. In addition, we're expanding into what we call certification to qualification, and it's job qualification, where DAU is going to play a role with our stakeholder organizations to formalize the on-the-job training for qualifications.
And with the shift to a greater emphasis on the job training, and I think this was something that, Al, you referred to earlier, being able to manage projects when you're talking about succession, has the emphasis shifted from long-term skills that people might use 20 years from now to whatever gets them through the next, say, 3 or 4 years? And maybe I'll ask you that. Has the type of things people want to get better at, has that shifted to a more short-term focus?
I think it's short-term in terms of what's mission critical and what you need and how you prioritize the training that the agencies are providing for organizations. But I think the the role of individuals is expanding. We're looking for example, you know, frontline supervisors are now being asked to do more, expanding their role, sometimes in the area of HR, being more consultative and working and engaging with staff. And so I think there are shorter term concerns, but I think we're trying to build employees for a broader, longer term role.
And what about a defense acquisition university? Is that also the same, that you've got that perhaps a greater emphasis on what's happening in the here and now, but still those skills are going to last people throughout their careers?
Absolutely. Academic university will put you through a degree program. And then other than alumni, or when they want you to donate money to keep them going, but we look at our workforce that we're with them when they come in to when they retire. And not only our courses, our certification courses, but also the other learning assets we have available to develop them. Even our courses have two types. One type is to helping them with job competencies, and the other are professional development or career development courses, especially our senior courses that we have. So we are trying to be with them sort of like a continuous presence on the job. So you take DAU with you. And in that regard, there's huge opportunities to leverage your mobile technologies, your tablets, your things like that. And I can talk about that later if it comes up.
Well, we do have a technological question, because it seems to be a big substitute for a lot of what used to be done in person. But at HUD, Sheila, on-the-job training is time-consuming, and it's also people-intensive when you can't just send them to graduate school or somewhere. So how are you handling that on the job, but also getting there fast?
There are two things I think that are working pretty well for us right now, and that's the rotational assignment program itself. And while we know that some individuals may not be able to have a duty station in Washington and actually do a rotational assignment in New York because of the travel challenges and the constraints with travel funds, our field offices are making use of the rotational assignment program in their respective areas. And so one may be able to be in field policy and management, which is an office within HUD, but rotate into public and Indian housing within that field office. And what we're finding is, how do we make this more structured, is that we've set a set time for them to be in the experience and then to go through an evaluation protocol to determine what they actually learned and what are the best practices, what can we gain to improve our delivery of the program and the overall service to the department, but also the learning experience for the employee. The second piece to that is we have been forced to actually use web broadcasting a lot more than we have initially for learning opportunities. And so we do have a broadcasting center in the department, and we are able to, as we have learning activities in headquarters or in other areas of the department, we are able to broadcast that to the various field offices right real time to someone's workstation.
And with those rotational assignments, is that something that, I guess I'm asking, how cheap is it or how expensive is it? Does it cost you guys anything if you just tell an employee, oh, instead of doing administration today, you're going to do HR?
The one thing about our program is that we're not really telling someone to do anything. I think the employee expresses an interest. We actually have a SharePoint site where we have a list of opportunities that are available, and we list them just like their job vacancies. And the employees are able to apply. It must be within the same grade. We cannot have a GS-9 doing a assignments that are related to a GS-13. So they are in the same grade structure. And we move from there. And they take those opportunities. They take on those projects very, very aggressively. And it's worked well so far.
So it's not like student playing teacher for the day, but
no, man, not at all. Not at all.
You're listening to a Federal Drive discussion on retirement and the retention of knowledge. And our guests today are Sheila Wright. She's Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development. Chris Hardy, the Director of Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University. And Al Tyree, he's Director of Global Solutions, and he's a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA. We're going to have more after this short break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
And welcome back to our Federal Drive discussion on retirements and the retention of knowledge here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Chris Hardy, Director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at Graduate School USA, and Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development.
Just before our break, Sheila was telling us about these on-the-job rotational assignments where people at HUD can get some additional skills that way. Chris, you also have a bit of a on-the-job approach when you're talking about your coaching at the Defense Acquisition University. Tell us about your program and how it works.
Well, coaching is another very, very important tool that you can use to influence the knowledge drain with new managers, new leaders coming in, as well as coaching our senior leadership with their major programs. And we've been doing coaching now about 3 years. We have matured into about 45 coaches that are certified at DAU, and they reach out to the business unit organization leaders, and they basically get a coachee that agrees and wants to be coached. And it's a very personal, long-term relationship, and it's very powerful because those people can give you high returns on that investment of their time.
Can you give us an example of the coach-coachee relationship, the types of things that they do?
Our coaching isn't psychological coaching. It's more performance-based coaching. In other words, how can you... you've got major decisions coming up, and you need a senior person to bounce it off of and get advice from. So it's performance-based coaching. It's not, you're not getting into their personality and things like that.
But you do give them an attaboy once in a while if they figure it out.
Well, they give them attaboys, but it's an interesting relationship with them because they'll have someone that's already been where they've been. We hire very senior people to one, be on our faculty, and two, special ones for the coach. So you have a senior person that's already done major program management, leadership things. So it's a person, non-threatening, it's not attributional, that you can trust, and it's very powerful and very helpful tool, especially with the drain of knowledge here.
And as an aside, the Office of Personnel Management is working on regulations to go along with a new law that would let senior federal officials, rather than just retire point blank, still continue to work part-time.
Yeah, the phased retirement system.
Exactly. Al, I want to ask you from your perspective with the Graduate School USA, do you think agencies are making full advantage, or can they take full advantage of things like mentoring?
I think they are. And I think, again, you know, a lot of it's driven by just the current state of affairs where a lot of org agencies are bringing programs internally, bringing them back inside their agencies. I'm familiar with the program being run out of FEMA, for example, where it's a blend of a number of formal and informal types of programs, mentoring, coaching, creating communities of practice within their leadership groups. And so you provide them with those theoretical underpinnings that you would get in any leadership program, but you give them context within the agency. So with respect to that brain drain, you're giving folks that are coming in an opportunity to engage firsthand with individual senior leaders and understand the business of the agency.
And is that a course in itself that can be taught, how to be a good mentor, how to be a good coach? Is that worthy of a course in and of itself?
Absolutely, and we have several. But absolutely. But again, I think there's nothing that replaces that mentor-mentee relationship and just engaging firsthand with your colleagues.
And Sheila, do you have that at HUD where you said most of the employees, or I guess the average age is in the 50s, but you do have this HUD under 5 group of newbies who are at least very active in trying to get themselves a footing in HUD.
Yeah, we're working a lot with collaborative teams. And so we have the under five team, but we also have a number of teams.
That is to say, not under 5 years old, but
no,
only five years or less.
At HUD. Okay. But nice, that's a nice one. 5 years or less at in federal government or at HUD. But we also have collaborative teams across grades with federal executives, with under five team members, with senior technicians, with journeymen as well, that look at certain challenges within HUD and how we can best meet those challenges. And that thus becomes a learning opportunity for the under fivers. They've been able to contribute a lot into streamlining our processes and how might we take a different spin or different look or view at maybe, you know, managing a specific program. But I wanted to speak to the mentoring part, if I can just take 1 or 2
sure.
minutes. The chief performance management officer and I have been working together at HUD to actually evolve the idea of managing and leading such that managers not just supervise, but coach and mentor and solicit open feedback from their staff, which helps us with our succession, which helps us with knowledge management. So it allows employees to gain knowledge from their managers, but it also allows the managers to gain that knowledge from their employees. So there's some real talk going on at HUD right now with a lot of our managers and employees alike.
And what do you tell managers so that they will set the scene so people can actually be very frank and honest with them?
Wow, we've introduced a lot of we've introduced courseware with a number of our managers in headquarters and the field that focus on feedback. And it gives them, and crucial conversations, which gives them a template, if you will, for setting the stage. You know, nice, clear, succinct points. You know, template outline that gives them how to go about setting the stage, how to go about encouraging a level of comfort with the employee so they can have that, engage in that open and honest feedback without fear of any kind of reprisal, but just to know that it's all partially to help the organization grow, but also help the learning process along as well.
And so, Chris, that sounds like about the way you were describing the coaching idea, with the performance and the goal and the mission as the primary goal, but not so much the, hey, it's nice to do this type of idea.
Well, that's really what we see as the most important thing, as it, you can attribute it to your training, you can attribute it to your knowledge sharing or coaching, is you're helping that stakeholder's organization succeed by helping their leaders and their people succeed with their competencies. So the real measure is organizational success at the end. And if you can attribute that to what you're trying to do, that's really the big challenge as well as the big goal. The coaching part of it, we went through, our people go through a very formal, structured coaching certification program. We don't turn them loose, and it takes about a year. And then it gets into more outreach and finding someone that would like to participate in it, and then marrying those two up and get the right people together. Because they're not everybody. Sometimes personalities are different. Some would be good for one or the other. But it's not an ad hoc program at all. It's very structured, and it's been very successful. In fact, they've just won an award. This last week.
Well, congratulations. And you're listening to a Federal Drive discussion on retirement and the retention of knowledge. Our guests today are Chris Hardy, Director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development, and Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA. We'll have more after this short break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
9:52. Welcome back to our Federal Drive discussion on retirements and the retention of knowledge here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Christopher Hardy, Director of the Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, Sheila Wright, the Chief Learning Officer at Housing and Urban Development, and Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at Graduate School USA.
And Al, when it comes to replacing those retirees or the ones that are about to retire, what are some of the training and education success stories that you've heard and that you've been a part of?
Right. I'll answer that in just clarifying my title. You know, I'm with the graduate school, that institution, 90 years young, that's providing professional development, continuing education.
That's as old as corn.
just about. To not only the federal government, but to those who support the federal government. But the Training Officers Consortium, I'll kind of cite that as a success story. It's a community of federal learning professionals. And I think in facing some of the challenges, Sheila and I were talking about that old adage, as budgets go, training goes. And this is certainly a community where you bring together practitioners, learning professionals, if for no other reason than to just to kind of commiserate to see what are you doing facing, you know, the challenge of doing more with less, sharing tools, tips, and practices. So I guess it speaks to that professional development, that networking amongst the community, amongst your colleagues, and across your agency, I think, that's so vitally important to being successful in this current state of affairs.
And just give us a scope of how often you guys meet and how many of you are there.
Yeah, the Training Officer Consortium meets 10 times during the year. There are 10 professional development luncheon series that are run during the year, and it's capped off by an annual training institute at the end of the year focused on topical, cutting-edge, relevant issues that face the federal training community.
And, Chris, I know time is growing short, but if you could just pick on perhaps one success story, one example of how you are preparing the next generation when the retirees leave.
I would like to say, leading into that one, is we've been fortunate to have great leadership, and that's important in this time even more. Our current president, Dr. McMichael, has continued from Mrs. Katrina McFarland, that was our president, and she was nominated, and she's now the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition, and which is good because now we had a learning leader that's moved up to the C-suite. To wrap it up, I'd say our biggest success story has been a lot of the recognition that the university has received. And the latest one was in March by the Global Council of Corporate Universities, and we were selected as the best overall corporate university in the world, public and private. And that was a huge prestigious honor for the faculty and staff, and it was largely due to a lot of the planning initiatives and leadership alignment, as well as our business systems and our metrics.
And Sheila, we'll give you the last 15 seconds.
Wow. Our success story is basically we have senior leadership, both our secretary and our deputy secretary, that are serious about investing in our people, and they've shown us as employees that they're doing that. When a manager comes and says, stops me in the hallway and says, you know, that was a fantastic learning experience, and I've really grown from that. Or when a manager or employee comes to me and said, I really richly enjoyed my rotational assignment, and I've been able to take back to my duty station and put those practices in place, or I've been asked to become a part of someone's team permanently, and we're making that happen. Those are the success stories that we have in our department, and we're really happy about it, really fairly pleased that we have the opportunities to provide our employees.
Okay.
And that brings our discussion to a close. I'm afraid that's all we have time for, but we would like to thank our guests, Sheila Wright, Chief Learning Officer at HUD and Urban Development, Chris Hardy, Director of Global Learning and Technology Center at Defense Acquisition University, and Al Tyree, Director of Global Solutions and a member of the Training Officers Consortium at the Graduate School USA.
And coming up next, after our show, Inside Government, brought to you by the American Federation of Government Employees, We'll be back Monday morning. I'm Tom Temin.
I'm Emily Kopp. Join us Monday starting at 6 for the Federal Drive right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, your source for federal news now.